Influencers Special Edition Summer Bahamian Artist Series is powered by
A Healthier Me Starts with Fit 360.
Influencers is brought to you by
7C's Start Your Day the Right Way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And on this radio show, we take you into the world of leaders within Bahamian society and the global community to give you insight on how they use their influence to bring about positive change. We provide this platform for influencers to inspire our listeners with their personal stories on how they maneuver and strategize to still be impactful and influential even in this new norm environment post-COVID-19. It is our hope that the stories and insight of the influences we bring to you will inspire you to use the power of your influence to bring transformational change to your immediate environment, Bahamian society, and for some even across international divides. And today on Influencers, we're proud to launch a month-long artist series under the theme Music and the Arts, Shaping a New Bahamas, as we take a look at Bahamian society through the lens of music and visual artists who influence, impact, and shape societal outlook through their passion, as well as through the serving of their outstanding gifts and talents. And today, we delve into the mind of a Bahamian music icon who has won the hearts of Bahamian music enthusiasts all the way from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south, with her memorable hits like Someday, Send Them Home, and the unforgettable landmark duet with cultural icon, the late Ronnie Butler, Oh, Look What You Do to Me. Her melodious and powerful voice, along with her strong and convincing performance on stage for decades, has earned her the title, the Queen of Junkanoo. Her societal contributions run the gamut from being ratified as a political candidate to offering spiritual service as an evangelist. Today on Influencers, we welcome Emily Williams, also known as Sweet Emily, as another featured artist for this Influencer Special Edition Summer Bahamian Artist Series on the theme Music and the Arts, Shaping a New Bahamas. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Healthier Me starts with Fit 360. Fit 360 has a unique range of vitamins with potent formulations offering optimum levels of omega-3, tasty immune boosters for on the go, and sugar-free options too. Fit 360 has something for me, my friends, and my family. Whether exercising, staying ahead at work, or busy with the kids, Fit 360 makes it easy and tasty to give my body the daily vitamins it needs. Staying healthy and strong is the way to be. Fit 360 for a healthier you.
There's this place you can buy quality men's and ladies' fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Wanna know where? I'm talking about Treasures and Things, located right next to Soya Studio in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Treasures and Things, 361-7299.
Staying healthy has taken on a whole new meaning these days. So we ask, why do you put your health first?
As a business professional, I need to make the most out of my work days.
I'm a teacher, and I want to be there for my students.
In sports, I have to be in top form for my team.
Motherhood, I just got to keep up with my kids.
Because my patients rely on me to be at my best.
Stay
Staying healthy is important for many of us, and Halib Orange makes it easy. Just one 1,000 milligram tablet of vitamin C gives your immune system a flavorful boost, leaving you protected and feeling good for the day ahead. Halib Orange Vitamin C. Just pop the cap, drop it in water, let it fizz, and enjoy. Part of the Halib Orange family.
Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer, Bahamian music icon, Sweet Emily, for our Influencer Special Edition Bahamian Summer Artist Series, or theme, Music and the Arts Shaping a New Bahamas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lady Shima. Thank you for having me.
Listen, I love this lady already. The atmosphere is just charged with the jubilance and Bahamian culture and Bahamian pride and all that good stuff. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. And I was just thinking about this question on my way here into the studio. I know that you've told your story a million times. However, I thought about this. I was talking to my nephew about 4 days ago when I was contemplating doing this Bahamian artist series. And I asked him, he's very passionate about music, very gifted, innate. And I said, who's Sweet Emily? And he looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, oh my God, the Bahamian icon. And my nephew does not know who she is. So if someone were to stand before a crowd and they would want to inform the upcoming generation, let's say primary school students, who is Sweet Emily? If you had 2 minutes to just give them a little bit of a summary, what would you say?
I would say, Shima, Sweet Emily is just an ordinary girl growing up. I was born in the 60s, late 60s, 1967 to be exact. Mm-hmm. And growing up basically in the 70s and matriculating through the 80s, Sweet Emily was somebody who didn't discover who she was until she was in grade 6 at Wilton Aubrey Primary School.
Wow.
Didn't know I could sing. I just thought everybody could sing. Didn't recognize that I had a special gift.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you. And one day they decided at school that they're going to put together a choir, mm-hmm. and they didn't know who could sing from who couldn't sing. So everybody had to sing, mm-hmm. da 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 da,
uh-huh,
or whatever. And then they wanted to hear you sing something they gave you to sing. And so right when they got to me, they would say, oh yeah, this one, she can really sing. So I would say that Sweet Emily is somebody who just grew up as an ordinary person, became a teenager, stumbled upon a gift when I was about 12 years old and started singing, mm-hmm. with a musical group / production company called Lashik Productions. And I was the only person who really had the ability to sing at that level, uh-huh. where we could actually put on shows. Everybody has dance and model, and I did that too. Mm-hmm. But I was the only person in that group who really, really could sing. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just went from bands to bands and clubs to clubs, and back in the day it was like over the hill clubs, so mm-hmm. we didn't have the big hotels like Atlantis and Bahama and mm-hmm. all these big time resorts. There was Nassau Beach, mm-hmm. and there were the hotels, but Sweet Emily is just a dark-skinned beautiful girl
that's right
who can sing, who stumbled upon a gift, mm-hmm. and was founded by a gentleman by the name of Les Turnquest, who decided to do a CD with myself, mm-hmm. and from there, I became, that CD was actually entitled Sweet Emily. Mm-hmm. KB and Fred produced that. So you basically have in a nutshell.
Yes.
You know, how I came from and how I came to be.
Yes. I'm very glad that you took a moment or two to do that, because the information that you shared just now, it is very, very important that is passed down from generation to generation. And I was thinking about how are we doing this, right? Mm-hmm. How are we doing this right now in 2021 and 21st century in the Bahamas, and making sure that the cultural information, that these facts, the history is being passed down. And there are so many different ways that we can do this. We have the advantage of technology. We were just talking about before coming on the microphone about how now we're doing commercials and like real Bahamian music recording, even using WhatsApp. I mean, right. And it's still having that quality sound, mm-hmm. Because of what it is that we have access to with technology. But let's still stay right there in the reins of talking a little bit about your history, because I want to build this conversation. Of course, we have lots more to talk about as we're doing this Bahamian artist series, especially being right on the cusp of our 48th independence as a nation, as an independent nation. So there's definitely a lot to talk about there. And I want to talk a bit about these definitions, because we still do not yet have a book, an official established text, right, where we can go to and say, this is what Bahamian culture is. Mm-hmm. Here is what Bahamian culture consists of. Right. And I remember years ago, as a matter of fact, when I first started the show, ironically, my first two guests, the very first one was Fred Ferguson, and you were the second one. So I started off on a cultural foot, right? And so I've definitely got a lot of experience with doing this, and I'm very passionate about it because I believe that it is an integral part of what we are and who we are as a people. And I said, let me just go to Google and ask Google, what is Bahamian culture? Because I'm very, very interested in seeing exactly what the results would be. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came up in my search Google result came from Bahamas.com. And here is what it says. And I want you to comment on this, sweet Emily. It says, Bahamian culture is joy personified. It is a junkanoo celebration parading down the street. It's bold and colorful art. Our culture is a fresh conch salad, a lively rake and scrape tune, a welcoming smile from a stranger. This is what Bahamian culture is. Mm-hmm. And then I get a laugh from sweet Emily. Seriously.
Wow.
This is what is on Bahamas.com as the definition of what Bahamian culture is.
My gosh. You want me to respond to that?
I want you to respond to that.
I think whoever wrote that obviously doesn't really know all of the history of who we are. I think, first of all, we have to define the fact that what is culture? Culture mm-hmm. is a way of life. It's who we are
That's
as
right.
a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that includes from how we worship,
mm-hmm.
the kind of music we worship to.
That's right.
How we laugh, what we talk about, the jokes we tell,
mm-hmm.
Storytelling. That goes even into music. The kind of music that we love to enjoy, what we use, like they said, they talk about the junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't mention Reagan's Grape or Gombe, but mm-hmm. that's fine. And then also we have to think about, when we talk about culture, we think about even the arts. We think about mm-hmm. the kind of arts that we put out there. Because when mm-hmm. you look at Bahamian art, even though you're persons who do different types of art, I'm talking
yes.
about artwork,
mm-hmm.
There are certain names that are tied to Bahamian culture as to who we are and what we paint.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a lot of our art, it deals with landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see like a poinciana tree. You'll see a yellow elder painted. You'll
That's
see
right.
a hibiscus.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a boat.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always see water.
Yes.
And you'll have maybe sometimes they even paint people. They paint houses.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at some Eddie Menezes painting and his daughter,
That's
and
right.
persons like himself,
mm-hmm.
you would see the little colorful houses in Harbor Island and around the Bahamas. And then you have like some persons look at the carvings. So when we talk about Bahamian culture, it's a vast topic. I mean, I think we are colorful people
mm-hmm.
because I think you have some countries where you can literally just say, okay, this is what their culture is. But I think when it comes to the Bahamas, we have such a, like I said, it's such a vast culture as to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happened too because of the fact that we may not be old as a nation. We're only like almost 48 years old.
Yes, yes, yes.
But Bahamians have a way of taking other people's things and making it like just perfecting it and taking it to the next level and then owning it.
Okay.
That's about our culture too. We like to take people's things and we own it.
Yes.
Like when we talk about junkanoo, junkanoo is not necessarily indigenous only to the Bahamas.
That's true.
They used to do it in Jamaica and other places, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's rooted in Africa
mm-hmm.
and the goatskin drums and the dance and all of that came out of it.
Yes.
Of course it is.
It's evolved.
It has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about culture, I think it's too broad a topic to put in any type of paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we sum it up, I think basically culture is a combination of junkanoo, rake and scrape, gombe.
Mm-hmm.
A combination of
so it's our
eat,
music,
the food,
mm-hmm. our
conch
food.
Salad, conch fritter,
mm-hmm.
crack conch, those types of food. Because the other things are found around the world too, like the lobster and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we think culture, we even go deeper into religion.
Mm-hmm.
We are very religious persons.
Okay,
our country is very religious. We believe in going to church,
mm-hmm.
even though sometimes we don't live.
All right, so there's music, food, and...
Music, food, religion.
Religion.
And then the social aspect of it, how
yes,
we relate to each other. this is probably the best vacation spot in the world.
I believe that. Okay? All of these various aspects
and
of our culture.
And we as Bahamians, we live that sometimes too. You have some people who have to work, they go to fish fry. Mm-hmm. So I think that we are rich. Mm-hmm. That's all we I can are. Say. We are really rich in heritage mm-hmm. and in culture. We are rich with mm-hmm. our culture. So I don't think there's any few words that can sum up who we really are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We are a colorful people. That's the most I can say about that.
You know, I really do agree with you, sweet Emily. And talking about that, let's talk a little bit about the whole movement and direction of culture in the Bahamas, more so specifically in dealing with the musical aspect with you as a music artist, mm-hmm. right? And, of course, there were the days of the Cat and Fiddle, and mm-hmm. We can go on and on. And almost at every corner, especially in the downtown area, there is a spot where you can go and listen to live entertainment. Mm-hmm. Of course, post-pandemic, it's not like that anymore. But even pre-pandemic, before
that.
COVID-19,
it wasn't like that.
There was this conversation and there was this issue, right? Right. And Bahamian artists, by and large, have always really had an issue with this. It was really always a needle in the back, so to speak.
Right.
And why is this still an issue, you believe? Why have we really regressed as a people when it comes to culture, when we should be advancing and becoming stronger
exactly.
with this element?
Well, for me, I believe that we had successive governments. It's going to fall on the government.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that's the highest order of how we do things in this country. Mm-hmm. Everything
yes.
starts from a governmental mm-hmm. level.
Leadership, that's
and
right.
And the leadership, we have, over the years, elected persons to sit in the House to represent us who doesn't seem, for the by and large, because there are persons who probably love culture,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have persons in there who have that same passion mm-hmm. that we do when it comes to culture. We don't have anybody fighting for us in there saying, hey, this is how it should be. Mm-hmm. We need laws implemented. We need copyrights. We need things enforced mm-hmm. because the laws are there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we don't enforce anything. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, we have drifted away from who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the bands, I think I always go back to this thought that came from Ronnie Butler. I heard him talk about it before,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard it from other persons who was from that era where they talked about it. And I remember it because I'm not that young mm-hmm. that I can't remember it, but I remember the days of the Ronnie Butlers and the Fred Munnings and all those persons who came before us.
Mm-hmm.
These are the persons I remembered. And to us, they were like, I feel as if they were more respected
mm-hmm.
and there was more love for what we did back then.
Mm-hmm.
I said that because a person like Ronnie Butler, if you see Ronnie Butler walking down the street, it was like seeing Michael Jackson.
I'm telling you, listen to
you
me.
You know, even the quality,
yes.
I think
right.
I think a part of it falls on us as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think going back to the meat of it is the fact that we are, at some point, I think we have regressed and we have lost some of who we are. We have lost some of our culture.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that we have such a heavy influence of foreigners in our country from
Most
the South.
Most definitely, yes.
And mm-hmm. so when you have the Haitian presence being strong and strong, and we have this problem with illegal immigration where
mm-hmm.
we have so much of them coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Jamaicans, now we have the Filipinos
yes.
coming in larger numbers. We have everybody's here.
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening is they're bringing their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't forget the fact that we are so close in proximity to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us who grew up under the Ronnie Butler era where we could listen to these persons and hear about their club, because we were too young to go into clubs, but we worship mm-hmm. these people in a sense where we acknowledge them, we respected them, and I think there was a higher regard for Bahamian artists
mm-hmm.
back then. They were like, real celebrities.
Celebrities for you.
And I think what happened is the politicians,
right.
there's this train of thought that the politicians didn't like the fact that you had entertainers who had more power than them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, the politicians were there and their job was to go in House Assembly and make the laws and do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But the real celebrities and the people who people really looked up to was mm-hmm. when you see a Ronnie Butler, it's like, you know. So I think there has been, we have regressed. I think mm-hmm. there's a level of disrespect now more so than before
mm-hmm.
for artists. Even when you go on some of the jobs, I experience it too.
Right.
Even now where you have persons would hire you and you don't get that same respect.
Mm-hmm.
Let me draw an illustration quickly. I was at an establishment where I worked for a few months. Now, after COVID, you know, things was rough,
mm-hmm.
and most of us now are working basically for pennies, but at least, thank God, we can find little things here and there
something,
to do.
Yes.
And the communication is in there where it's so bad that sometimes the person who owns the establishment you know that when I'm finished, you're supposed to pay me. Mm-hmm. So why do I have to sit down? You know I'm coming there. Why not put the money in an envelope and have it ready?
At least.
I find myself sometimes sitting down 15, 20 minutes just waiting for your staff to call you at the back to tell you, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm out here. You know, yeah, things
just
like
a
that.
Lack of professionalism.
And then you go on somebody's jobs, you have to pay for water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when back in the day, entertainers were respected to the point where it was automatic.
It was provided for you, yes.
That, hey, if you're working for 2 or 3 hours, you deserve, they might not give you a meal.
Thing to do, right?
But they would give, yes, I think it should be automatic.
Yes.
But it's not. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's these type of things that prove mm-hmm. what I'm saying to be true, that there's no longer that respect for behaving artists. They want to use you. The governmental people will use you in time for politics and time for you to get on the stage and promote mm-hmm. them so they could win their seats. Mm-hmm. But after election is over,
then it's everything is over.
Yeah. And so I think there's a whole bunch of stuff that has contributed to the fact that I think we have lost some of
It really sounds like there is an egregious assault on culture in the Bahamas, unfortunately. But as I sat here and I listened to you, Sweet Emily, just for those 1 or 2 minutes there, but so much rich content, you know, I was listening. And what I heard from that, too, though, was the difference, especially back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, where Bahamian music artists played a more critical role in the way that society was ran back in the day.
Right.
So their influence was stronger and heavier.
Yeah.
And as a result, they garnered more respect.
Right.
But as we move more towards the 2021, the Bahamian music artist, your presence is not as strong, and therefore your influence, by and large, and as a direct result, has dwindled, right?
Yes.
Nothing to do with the quality of music.
Understood.
Your voice now sounds like how it sounded 20 years ago.
Right.
I listened to your most recent release. We're going to be talking about that on the other side of the break. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, like, nothing happened to our vocal cords.
Right.
It's like I'm listening to Someday. It's ridiculous, right? I mean, that's the good way. I'm like, Lord, she got to pray for me.
Right.
But and sadly, I really believe that that is what has happened. And then also, too, these names that we're talking about, like, I would call him a sir icon.
Sirani, right.
Bahamian Sirani. I love him. Everything about him. They were doing this full time for the most part.
Right.
You know, and for a lot of years consecutively. So when you have artists that are now stretched, they're working the 9 to 5 to pay the rent, to pay the mortgage, to pay the light bill, to pay all of these bills, right? Because they have to do this. And then after they're finished with the 9 to 5, then they're going home and getting and rushing and getting ready and then trying to put in a little practice on the weekend and then trying to stretch those couple of dollars to buy the outfit and all this kind of type stuff. And then also dealing with persons who are hiring them who don't have that kind of awe and respect for culture and for the music artist and probably even making less than they used to make back in the day because that reverence and that importance is not still there.
Right.
You know? And so this is a very, very sad advent in the Bahamas and what's going on with our culture. But with that said, though, let's talk a little bit about the evolution of your music, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about your discography as far as the amount of albums that you've recorded. And take us back down memory lane with some of those great hits and how having those hits has transformed and impacted your influence as a music artist.
Well, gosh, we're going way back.
Way back. And I'm doing this intentionally because one of the things that we're doing is we're celebrating your contributions. And also, too, by way of listening to it on Facebook or listening to it on Instagram, this is one of our efforts in trying to get this information to the younger generation because they listen.
Definitely.
You know, so we need to put it in a format that's going to be one that they're going to listen to.
Well, my music back in the day, some of the songs that I did do some cover songs like Someday. I did Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow.
Yes.
I also did Long Time, and there were a few other covers that I did. They weren't all of them weren't my original back then, because some of them were mixed in between the first two albums that I did. But over the years, my catalog was really spanned. I just had the opportunity to be able to work back then with persons like Fred and D-Mac and persons like that.
Big names.
Who were more the better producers.
Mm-hmm.
You had all kind of people producing even then, but they were always at the forefront of the production. I think it has caused my music, when you listen to the songs now, just like some of the Ronnie Butler songs and stuff, the quality was so good even back then.
Mm-hmm.
But when you listen to the songs now, the quality is still good, even though technologically we have more to work with now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of it, I think. The production of it, I think the fact that when I started out, I was the first female actually recording what do we call jungle music.
Uh-huh.
We had other females who was around singing. All of us sing. We sang at nightclubs, and we sang at nightclubs, and we moved about. There was a number of females back then in mm-hmm. particular. But for me, I was the first female actually recording
mm-hmm.
What we would deem
recording professionally.
Back then, it was more jungle than Reagan Scrape, even mm-hmm. though Reagan Scrape was there.
Mm-hmm.
Recording jungle music and what we call Bahamian music. And over the years, I have moved from there, continued to record music. Mm-hmm. And even now, I think I have the largest catalog
mm-hmm.
of any female ever in the history of the Bahamas.
My goodness.
I am the one with the record to date.
Mm-hmm.
Up to about 3 years ago, I had recorded about 70, almost 80 songs.
Did you say 80?
Yes, right. And what? COVID year, last year alone, I recorded about 12 songs during COVID-19.
Oh my goodness.
Released about 8 songs. And of course, one of the mm-hmm. collaborations, some of the collaborations last year
mm-hmm.
was with your brother, Sammy Starr.
Yes.
And so I have seen the music evolve too
mm-hmm.
because, like I said, we have more at hand now. We have more with the technology. I find myself now, back then, you just was trying to make a name for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Once my name was established, I just continued that. Then I became the queen, and I just decided we can do the Queen of Junkanoo. And then these other songs started coming, and then I mixed in a few of, I have in my repertoire a few songs like a little Bob Marley here and there, or the little, I have mm-hmm. some songs in there that the genres are like reggae and
stuff,
but predominantly most of the songs that I did are Bahamian songs.
Mm-hmm.
And my song Someday was introduced to a lady through somebody giving an album, and it ended up in a very popular movie called Wild Things
mm-hmm.
with Matt Dillon. It's an international movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
And today that is my biggest accomplishment as far as getting your song into a movie
mm-hmm.
that is an international movie and seeing my name on the screen and that type of stuff. So there was definitely, I can say that my music has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And today I find myself now aiming most of my music now toward the international market. Because of technology now, our music is on YouTube, Facebook and stuff. So now the world is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Gone are the days when you had to worry about knowing somebody, you knew
That's
somebody,
right.
get you.
It's
give
totally
them a tape,
now.
Not even a CD.
It's totally changed.
Give them
now.
A tape. And
yes.
so
uh-huh.
I think I have matured over the years, mm-hmm. even musically. I think all of that has contributed to the fact that with the music you'll hear today and the music you'll hear for me now, even though the music back then was good,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make my music even better.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at the same time, I wanted
That's
to
awesome.
Be relevant.
That's
but
right.
I also wanted to be able to easily cross over.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we are basically international now. Once your music at YouTube, it's international.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So
right.
you have people now scoping,
so
record companies scoping YouTube, now looking for stuff. So that's my aim now, is to get, because I hit the ceiling a long time.
What's the response of the international community to your music, to your brand, to your sound?
Well, I mean, Bahamians everywhere, no matter where they live, they know who Sweet Emily is.
Mm-hmm.
The brand is out there.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is
we
don't have the vehicle.
Like your American, your Chinese,
right.
persons from around the world, when they hear your music.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what
I
kind
mean,
of response are you getting from them?
I don't know much Chinese people, but I know when you go on, you can basically tell what people around the world are saying when you go mm-hmm. on YouTube. And you pull up a song like Someday,
uh-huh.
in particular, and you see people say, hey, I've heard this song done by other people, but hey, this is the best version I heard. Or,
wow.
or Niamh bought me, did this, you know, the movie bought me. Niamh
uh-huh.
was one of the persons who starred in the movie. They bought this movie, brought me to this song.
Oh,
and so
okay.
it shows you that. And that wow. song was actually at the end of the movie.
Yes.
So people heard the song and they right away went to YouTube to look for the song to find out who is singing this song
yes.
and who what this lady is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So you pretty much, I think, anybody around the world who tunes into what's going on in the Bahamas would know who Sweet Emily is.
Yes,
I mean, that's the best way I can say it. You know?
That's really awesome.
We just
and
don't
I
have
really
enough of. We just don't have enough of it. You know what I mean? We need more of it. More influence.
I totally agree with you, and I really love your confidence. And you know, ever since I did my first interview with you,
mm-hmm.
all the way back at the Spirit Gospel,
mm-hmm.
That confidence has always been alive, and it's
you.
Thriving, and it's getting stronger and stronger because you know who you are as Sweet Emily.
Exactly.
You know who you are as a Bahamian music artist. And you know the value that you carry,
right.
and you know your importance to Bahamian culture and society. And that is very, very important. And it's also equally important for you to pass this down to mm-hmm. upcoming generations. As a matter of fact, I wanted to talk a little bit about all of that on the other side of the break. You made mention of a duet collaboration that you did with Sammy Starr. I want to talk about collaborations between your generation and the upcoming generation mm-hmm. when it comes to Bahamian music artists, and what it is that you believe that's being passed down, lessons that probably still need to be learned, that kind of a type thing. I think that's going to make for a very, very interesting conversation. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening into Influencers with our special series. And of course, this is a Bahamian artist special series as we move into our 48th Independence as a Nation, the Great Bahamas, the place where God lives. And our theme for the series is Music and the Arts Shaping a New Bahamas. There will be more on the other side of this break. Please stay tuned.
Healthier me starts with Fit 360. Fit 360 has a unique range of vitamins with potent formulations offering optimum levels of omega-3, tasty immune boosters for on the go, and sugar-free options too. Fit 360 has something for me, my friends, and my family. Whether exercising, staying ahead at work, or busy with the kids, Fit 360 makes it easy and tasty to give my body the daily vitamins it needs. Staying healthy and strong is the way to be. Fit 360 for a healthier you.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios. Capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Staying healthy has taken on a whole new meaning these days. So we ask, why do you put your health first?
As a business professional, I need to make the most out of my work days.
I'm a teacher, and I want to be there for my students.
In sports, I have to be in top form for my team.
Motherhood, I just got to keep up with my kids.
Because my patients rely on me to be at my best.
Staying healthy is important for many of us, and Haliborange makes it easy. Just one 1,000 milligram tablet of vitamin C gives your immune system a flavorful boost, leaving you protected and feeling good for the day ahead. Haliborange Vitamin C. Just pop the cap, drop it in water, let it fizz, and enjoy. Part of the Haliborange family.
Welcome back to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima, and you are tuned into a special edition of Influencers as we have our Bahamian Artist Summer Music Series, and I am so excited about this. And second up in our list is the Queen of Junkanoo herself. I'm sitting in studio with an icon, a Bahamian icon. And of course, I'm talking about Sweet Emily. And let's continue on with our conversation as we talk about this wonderful topic of music and the arts shaping a new Bahamas. And talking about shaping a new Bahamas, let's get into this theme a little bit here. You were mentioning about the song Someday and how that brought some international notoriety for you. With persons hearing the song internationally. It was played at the end of a film, at the end of a movie. So this brings up the whole industry now and dealing with the orange economy.
Right.
Let's talk about the future of the orange economy in a post-COVID-19 era, because now everything is being done virtually. But of course, you can still make money virtually,
of course.
A lot at that.
Of course.
So what are your thoughts when it comes to the orange economy and dealing with this virtual environment in which we now exist? When it comes to Bahamian music and artists and culture?
Well, I was introduced to the orange economy. It was the first time I actually heard the word was back in somewhere around 2015, 16, right before the elections, when I was then with the party, the DNA party, and as a ratified candidate.
Yes.
And my portfolio would have been, had I won, I would have been named the Minister of Culture. And that was what I told Brian when they'd asked me to run. And I said, well, if I run, it will be only to contribute to culture. And The orange economy was something that I started to read upon. I did a little paper on it. I did my own little paper on it, finding out that, you know, because I think we grew up in an era where we didn't have the information like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in an information age where we can read upon stuff. I started to read upon the orange economy and found out that the orange economy actually in some countries contribute to trillions of dollars.
That's right.
Coming into the economy, especially mm-hmm. in America. Trillions, mm-hmm. trillions of dollars.
That's right. And, with a T.
right. And didn't recognize as well.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even think about, when we think about culture and we think about the arts and we think about the industry, we always think music, junkanoo, food and that type of stuff. But we mm-hmm. don't think about the graphic artists and the artists who paint and
the
draw.
The artisans.
We don't
yes.
think about all the persons who make up the orange economy.
That's
which
right.
Which blew my mind. Even mm-hmm. some media is tied into that.
Even natural resources.
That's my point. It's tied mm-hmm. into that.
That's right.
So I think that we need to have more conversation on this orange economy because people are talking about it, mm-hmm. but nobody's really, like, really delving into it to say, mm-hmm. how are we going in the Bahamas focus more on the orange economy, especially due to the fact that any country that really, I mean, any government that really have sense really need to focus on, I think, more of what is an orange economy and what we can benefit. And so for me, I'm still learning about it, so I don't know a whole lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know basically the kinds of money that can be generated. I know that it includes a whole lot of people that I didn't know before was included in this particular part of the sphere of what we call economy.
Yes.
Because there are different sections where mm-hmm. if you are, let's say if you are a poetry person or you mm-hmm. somebody who write music, you play, you write, you compose, you mm-hmm. do different things. All of these persons fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And there are more, much more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we need to focus on it more. I believe that when we look at virtually, you talk about the virtual aspect where I think we can make more money now because mm-hmm. when it
yes.
first started and we started doing virtual stuff, it was really a little, it seemed a little disconnected for me because I was always one of those performers who liked the crowd. I liked to jump
yes.
down and hop on people and that kind of stuff and mm-hmm. be shaking in the front of their face. And that's the old Emily.
Yes,
but even
yes.
coming back, I still like that. To be mm. able to
that interaction
interact with
that's
my
important.
Audience
yes
and really. So for me it was a little weird at first
mm-hmm.
but then I had to like recondition my mind and say to myself
okay.
that okay you can still make money, you just have to be dead creative
mm-hmm.
and you have to recognize where the world is headed.
That's right.
And I think the orange economy now could even make trillions and trillions of dollars more so
yes the potential
now
is
with
there.
The virtual. And then it's easier now because you don't have to literally jump I don't have to literally jump on a flight to
uh-huh.
do a show to get to Europe.
That's right.
If I have Zoom or I have the right technical things in
place, it
cuts out
a lot of the expenses.
That's
yes.
my point. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to do that. And so I think that is where the world is headed
mm-hmm.
post-COVID. And I think we have to now see that the change has already happened. I mean,
mm-hmm.
either you go in with the change or you can get left behind.
You know, when talking
you see
about
what I'm saying?
This, I'm seeing artists do some very, very creative things. Like I've seen some Bahamian artists, what they did was they created some courses and then they put the course online, you know, because
okay.
once you would have been doing something for about 7 years, preferably consecutively, you're seen as a master in that particular art
okay.
or that particular sphere or area, right?
Wow.
And so they're literally taking their experiences and then packaging it as a course
right.
and actually selling the course
wow.
online and marketing it using social media, marketing it
right.
using LinkedIn and using
right,
Instagram
right.
and using Facebook.
Right.
And you would see that some of them were actually getting or having persons taking advantage of these courses from
that's
all
wonderful.
Around the world,
that's right. that's
you know,
right.
because there is this community out there that's really, really interested in Bahamian history and in Bahamian culture, more specifically the music.
Right.
I was talking to my dad, Ozzy Andros, a little bit earlier today, and you know that he's a Joseph Spence enthusiast.
Right.
And a lot of persons would say, boy, when it comes to anyone who could play really sort of close to Joseph Spence, it would be like a Ozzy Andros
right.
and a Fred Ferguson,
right?
right? And I know that my dad did something with Fred Ferguson as it relates to Joseph Spence, right?
right?
And thinking about, though, the kind of vast audience
that's right.
that Joseph Spence, a
wow.
Bahamian guitarist,
right.
right, had during his lifetime and even after his death, right? Person still asking for his music.
That's right.
Where can I find it?
My
so
Lord.
If they were able to go to a website and actually pull down the music, they're willing to pay for it. Foreigners
wow.
wanting to come here and
that's
have
right.
come to
right.
actually make documentaries
that's
about
right.
his music, right?
That's right?
So they're willing to invest
right.
into the orange economy, right?
right?
So there are all of these different avenues, you know, of potential as it relates to boosting and creating revenue for artists here in the country. Talking about that, let's tie that into what's going on currently here in the Bahamas. And of course, we're going to get to some recent happenings with, you know, our Bahamian artists as it relates to independence. Of course, right. We have to talk about that before this conversation is over. But let's segue a little bit right now into dealing with the Crystal Cruises. I'm really excited about this, right?
Okay.
I was watching my good friend Clint Watson there, man, and he was talking to some of the islanders there on Long Island, and you saw the tourists coming off the ship. And I was like, oh my goodness, look at this thing that's happening, you know, after COVID-19, and tourism is coming back, right? And then, of course, you have the live entertainers, you know, who they're providing live entertainment.
Right.
And I thought about the many positive spinoffs that can come from this cruise line going from, it's like, you know, cruise island hopping, right? And some of the islands involved with this inaugural cruise, you have Exuma, Long Island, San Salvador, of course, starting out here from New Providence, Harbor Island.
Right.
And so let's talk about some of the potential positive spinoffs, economic positive spinoffs, specifically for artists as it relates to the Crystal Cruises and this kind of a type touristic activity happening in our country.
Well, I don't know much about, I wasn't really following much about the Crystal Cruise. But what I do know is that a couple of us were talking about, because we were watching, or we were watching as they talk about, you know, every time the tourists get off one cruise and they go onto another island,
it's
they come
another
off
island,
and
yes, I love
but
that aspect.
What I understand from it is some of the artists are concerned that there's not enough for the tourists to do, because they're saying they might have entertainers that they have maybe engaged, and then you have them moving from island to island. But it seems as if their experience is limited somewhat, because they're saying that they only really experience in this beach. Everybody's talking about the beach. They come off and there's the beach. And so I don't know to which extent.
They have the artisans there too.
What do they have?
To welcome them. Artisans, like persons doing straw work, straw vendors. And then they also have persons doing selling their woodwork, the carpentry. Yeah.
Is this on every island? Because I'm not aware. Because all I heard them saying was all we did giving these people is beach.
No. They actually have the music artist incorporated into it. Right. One or two live entertainers were there, and then also the straw vendors, and actually, you know, you can see them at work. So the tourists would come off the ship and actually go there, and they would have to have the tent set up, and you know, the persons to welcome them, etc., etc. So there was, you know, a boost to the local economy, and I thought that was a great idea. And then I thought too about just making it a part of the package,
You mean with
having the big names, big names to go on the ships to provide entertainment.
I agree, because
it should be tied in.
Right, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And anything that we do, I think, in the Bahamas that ties in with tourism, music is the one thing that people, when you have people come to a country, the two things they always leave and or they always look forward to, that's going to be the food, of course, the people, but they always talk about the food and then the entertainment.
Yes.
They're the two things that they always look for. And when they come here, I think they're still the two things that they will leave talking about. They talk about how they had the Kong salad, and they talk about how we fixed the macaroni and cheese, and how they like the crack conch and the group.
All things Bahamian.
Some people don't even know about the whole fish sitting on the plate. They only know you get the tail, but they've never seen a fish head on a plate. So, you know,
that's Bahamian.
Right. So I think that we have to, like you said, I do agree that we have to take advantage of anything that we're doing touristically. We should never have enough entertainers in this country to work these things. Entertainers right now, I had like a person like Veronica Bishop hit me up today.
Yes.
Don't have no work. I mean, all of us.
Another Bahamian music icon.
Post-COVID, most of us, the little jobs that I'm doing, they're a little menial, but there's something to do.
Right.
But most of us are not really employed. Those of us who are full-time in this thing.
Right.
And so you shouldn't have a person like a Veronica Bishop or Sweet Emily or D-Mac or Aristotle or a Fred, these type of persons.
You're right.
Who is unemployed.
That's right.
I think we are one of the few countries where this happens. Because even though post-COVID, you might have other people in other countries who may be experiencing a level of not making the same type of monies and having that experience of being able to go to work every day and having to do stuff. But I think what hurts us the most in the Bahamas is the fact that the level for which we work is much lower than those of our counterparts in the Caribbean. Like Trinidad, for instance, you have Trinidadian artists who not only come here for carnival. Yeah, because Carnival is big. Mm-hmm. They have pushed Carnival. It started in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying
they even push it here in the Bahamas.
Right. So everywhere that you, they got Carnival in the States. They got mm-hmm. Carnival in Haiti. They got Carnival now in the Bahamas somewhat. Mm-hmm. Carnival all over the place. Mm-hmm. So these artists who are the top artists in Trinidad, like the Michelle Montano and the Allison Hines mm-hmm. and the Destro, these persons, they... Uh-huh. They're the level for which they are paid and the amount of stuff that they always doing because of the fact that their country has pushed Carnival so far, they're always employed. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have the top artists in the Bahamas, and we're supposed to be the leaders in the Caribbean, okay? Mm-hmm. When it comes to our economics.
Come on.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But yet your top artists ain't got no job. Mm-hmm. So but these are the things that I think mm-hmm. not only as artists, we have to make sure that we pushing out to the level where these international artists are doing. We have to make sure that our product is good.
Of course.
But mm-hmm. we still need that support, not only from the Bahamian people, but mostly from our government. Mm-hmm. We need avenues. We don't have enough opportunity mm-hmm. to get us out there. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get out there. Their music is now soca's gone to the world. But we're still trying to push jungle and reggae.
I think one of the things that's happening here in the Bahamas, though, with what it is that you just said, has to do with not necessarily having creatives in the House of Assembly.
Well,
I really believe that, yeah. Because you need to have an understanding, not just a knowledge, not just a head knowledge. You need to have an understanding. There has to be that passion. There has to be that insight.
Right.
And I believe the kind of insight that's going to be called upon in order for there to be the kind of Bahamas that you were just describing mm-hmm. just now, where artists are employed even full time because mm-hmm. of the relevance
right.
to what it is that we are as a people and really advancing Bahamian society, that you would really need to have a creative in the house to speak on behalf of creatives in Bahamian society.
Correct.
Right. And so, of course, you can have those persons who would have an appreciation for the arts. But it's a different story if you were to have a Sweet Emily, a Fred Ferguson, a Sammy Starr, a Jamal Rowe sitting in the house who they are artists themselves. Yeah, and they know the plight of the artist.
But
right?
See, shame of that.
And so they can push for it.
Yeah, but see, that also goes back to the fact that we have always agitated for them to remove youth sports and culture or mm-hmm. youth sports from culture. Mm-hmm. If you have a ministry of youth sports,
they're all
culture,
big. They're all big.
My point. They're too big
yeah.
to be one. And mm-hmm. then what happens is culture always gets the less money. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're pushing sports. You're pushing this. You're doing the youth sports.
Yeah.
And they have programs they already have in place where certain grants are given, scholarships are given. Mm-hmm. But you don't have scholarships be given to people to go do music. Mm-hmm. We don't even have a school of arts in this country.
Yeah.
Something that we should have had.
To go and do music, to come back and do what?
Just how we get College of Bahamas. And we have BTVI, the mm-hmm. deals with the technical side of it. Mm-hmm. We should have a school of arts. Why? Because we sell tourism. That's our number one product.
That's right.
And until we get industry. To the place where we don't have to depend on tourism anymore, mm-hmm. that's more reason why now we need to not only appreciate those of us who push in the music up, because we spend our own money to do this. Anybody giving us no grant to go mm-hmm. record in no studio?
It's serious business.
Then number two, why do we have persons like Ronnie Butler and other persons who have died, nobody naming a street after them, no buildings to name after them. Mm-hmm. We got people in education, all the schools named after people who are educators.
It's important so for we don't of
right,
culture.
We are not preserving our culture.
That's right.
And that's why we are losing it. Mm-hmm. So when a person like Ronnie Butler can die and people in the Bahamas don't even know when he was buried,
mm-hmm. isn't it?
People
something?
Didn't even know when the funeral was. I didn't even know. So how could these kind of things happen?
It's amazing.
And our country's so small.
One
man.
Of the
like we,
biggest.
You know, like Europe.
Music.
Where you can get lost in lifestyle.
Icons in the country.
We are 7x21 in Nassau. Because everything basically happens in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
And our
mm-hmm.
islands are connected. Mm-hmm. And we all have family from the family islands. How was it?
Mm-hmm.
That Ronnie Butler died. Mm-hmm. They knew people knew he died.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knew when he was buried.
Mm-hmm. That was a sad cry.
Someone came to me and asked me, said, when the funeral, I said, but in front of us, like 2 days ago on a Wednesday.
A very, very sad cry, especially
so
for
these
someone.
These are the kind of things that should not happen.
Of the magnitude of, a Serrani. Totally unbelievable. And another unbelievable occurrence is definitely happened a few days ago. I'm glad that there was some kind mm-hmm. of resolution that's come about 1 or 2 days ago, which is awesome. Let's talk a little bit about this. And I want to call this Trouble in Paradise, because that's exactly what it sounded like to me when I heard it. Right. I mean, the first thing I saw, of course, you know, you have the memes, you have the parody, you have the satire on Facebook. I saw the music video. What's the name of the artist who did that one again with all of the Bahamian Solo? Artists? Right. Lord,
well, everybody knows Solo.
I was laughing my head off. Listen to me. But even though it was so funny, and you know, and that's
it was funny, but it wasn't funny.
Right? And that's one of the advantages of humor, right? It makes dealing with serious issues a little bit more palatable.
Burden off.
Yeah, palatable for us to actually have a discussion and talk about it and come to some kind of, you know, resolution, some middle ground, right? And I was like, hold on, what did you say? I said, but I thought it was a joke. And then I started to scroll through. Then I started to go and look, you know, news stories. And I called some of my colleagues, you know, in the industry. And I said, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, man, Lady Shame is true. This is what's going on. We have no Bahamian music that's going to be sung for our 48th independence.
How does the things happen?
Listen to me. Where I'm about to catch the spirit right now. I totally don't understand, right? And then I heard a little bit more about what actually really, really happened with Mark Humes, the chairman of the Independent Secretariat, saying that, listen, we want to have more of a spiritual overtone this time around. Simply because of what we've come through recently as a people with the pandemic, with Dorian. So we really want to focus on God this time around. And I was thinking, hey, that's really awesome. Right. And that is in its place. But can't we do that involving everyone? Right?
Of course.
And so talk to us a little bit about how this evolved, just very, very briefly, because I was astounded and I still am.
Well, I was one of the persons that was there who literally went down to agitate for some answers.
Mm-hmm.
I was hit up by Lady E. Didn't really know the full story, but she briefed me as to what was going on, because I just a few days before, I was asking a few persons if anybody called them to perform an independence, because I said, I'm hearing nothing. So they was like, well, you know, they probably ain't gonna have nothing.
And it's so close.
But the point is, we know that last year they had virtual, and we assume that this year they
gonna do another virtual.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when she hit me up, she was like, well, have you heard that they have hired entertainers, well, basically a gospel choir they put together, or a choir they put together to sing about 16 or 17 songs. This is what she told me. And that none of the songs that they're singing are Bahamian. And these persons, some of the persons on there who are singing are like the Denzel Rules and other persons who literally have songs, who have songs to play on the radio that we deem to be Bahamian. So I asked her, what's she talking about? Is what you serious? So I delved a little bit into it more to get a little more information. And I was like, when I found out it was true, I said, okay, but just let me know when you're going, because I can be there. And she was like, you'll know, we need more. We need some seasoned people to go with us. We're trying to get a whole bunch of entertainers to go, but we know everybody ain't going to come. Some would probably be afraid because of political reasons, being that silly season. Then there are those who just don't want to be associated with, you know, standing up for what is right. And then there are those who say they come and they never reach.
Yeah.
Then there are those who came, and there was only a few of us that literally been there. And then we did the right thing. We went inside. We spoke to the defense force officers who's at the you know, who manned the desk.
Okay.
You just can't walk up.
Of course not.
To the Capitol office. And we told them we came to see Markins. But before we did that, we had already invited the Lady Eidos had already invited the media.
Okay.
Zernes, JCN, and Clint, those eyewitness, and
And The Guardian.
A couple of them were there. Everybody wasn't there yet, and some of them said they got lost because they didn't know where we were. But we had about two or three, and they were asking us questions. We had a letter that we were going to present to Mr. Humes, just asking that, you know, telling what we heard. And we wanted some answers, that's all. We just wanted to know what was going on, if it was true that they had already finalized and recorded. We knew it was true, but we still needed to hear him say it, because there were persons who actually were there who were part of this choir.
So there was already a pre-recorded independent celebration. Yeah.
They already hired Zayma. They already went to Salem Church to record it.
Okay.
That was already done.
Just waiting for it to be aired.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is the part of that really irritated us, was the fact that, not that nobody called us to perform, because we recognize, okay, they go in the gospel way and they want to go up and be fine with that.
Okay.
But what we did have a problem with was the fact that we found out that what they're singing is not Bahamian. I mean, come on. You expect us to sit down?
So not one Bahamian song.
Not one. From what I heard, all of the songs they were doing were like, you know, when you're doing choirs and you're doing ecumenical.
Yes.
So you're talking spiritual, inspirational.
Or your regular praise and worship songs.
Right.
That
now,
you
I
have
don't
at
know
church.
Who decided that.
That
okay,
was going to be my next
yeah,
question.
Yeah, I don't know who decided to say to like a Denzel Roll, you can't sing that behemoth song. You got to sing a Donnie McClurkin or we don't want that.
But
I'm
did
wondering
that really actually happen though?
I don't know. I'm
See,
just
that's
saying,
the thing.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
What we got was, mm-hmm. and he never refuted it. He never refuted the fact that there were no behemoth songs on it.
Okay.
Okay. So it had to be true.
Okay.
Now, whoever decided it, I don't know how even some of these artists who were there would literally agree to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you said, you're going, we're going the gospel way, we're going the inspirational way. And so a lot of these persons who sing in choirs and stuff, they do have a lot of inspirational songs that are not necessarily behemoth songs because a lot of them are not necessarily entertainers.
Okay, according to reports, here's a little bit of what he said. Mr. Humes explained that this year's celebration is about a Christian message, particularly where the country is this year after all its citizens have been through. And of course, he's referencing, you know, your Dorian, your pandemic, you know, lack of jobs, loss of jobs, et cetera, hard economics. And it goes on here to say one aspect of who we are is rooted in our religious belief. We're a Christian nation. So this is the aspect we're paying homage to, that aspect of who we are as Bahamians this year in the celebration. He went on to say, we've done secular, had secular, highlighted it for the last 4 years. I think at least 1 year we can pay reverence to who we are as a people, Christian people, a Christian nation. And I'm going to end with this piece here where he said, I really hope people don't take offense to the fact that, you know, we want to be able to do that at a time like this and pay reverence to God. Asked if the music will be locally written or produced material, he explained the songs being used are universal religious songs with a message. Universal religious songs with a
Not
message.
Bahamian, universal.
So obviously his response verifies
Confirm
what it is that,
that
you just
there
said.
No Bahamian songs.
So I totally do not understand the thinking behind that.
Right.
And then also there was the question asked, what is Bahamian music anyway, right? that was the question that was asked by Mark Humes himself.
Yeah, that's
what
kind of triggered everybody off.
Okay.
That, hey,
that's
the
question that
this.
He asked you all when you
he
all went to approach
us,
him.
Yeah, when what happened was, I mean, so people can understand how we approached him.
Okay.
When we got upstairs, mm-hmm. In our minds, if the defense force officers, they're manding the gate, so they mm-hmm. should know who's in and who's not in.
Right.
Right? You got four of them there. So mm-hmm. when we walked in, we were like, we just wanted to go upstairs to see if we could speak in Mark Holmes. They didn't say Mark Holmes wasn't in.
Mm-hmm.
They said, okay. And they let us go upstairs. So okay. when we got upstairs.
He was caught off guard then, maybe.
Right, right.
Okay.
So when we got upstairs, the staff was like, wasn't sure what to say. So you can tell from the body language and you see people moving in and out that someone, they probably told him, oh, you got some people out here. And he told me, tell him I ain't here or whatever. He must have slipped at the back door, jumped through the window. But then after about 15 minutes or so, they came back and said, he's not in.
Oh,
I see. So somebody asked, does anybody have his number? I said, I used to have his number, but I don't have his number now. I think when I changed my phone and my number changed,
okay,
I don't have his number anymore. So one of the ladies who worked there said, I'll give you all the number.
Oh, Lord.
And I think he must have called that same person. He told him, well, Emily know me and I know all these guys. Why didn't they?
He does.
Right. So he said, why do they think that they need to talk to me through the media? Why didn't Emily pick up the phone and call me? Why didn't D-Mac pick up the phone and call me? I know all these guys. I mm-hmm. just can't believe. And at that point, I think he was irritated and upset with the fact that the media was there and we were creating like a little stink, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when the lady started to tell me that, he was in there, but he said, I should call him. I said, I don't have the number. So she gave me the number, and I called him. And when I called him, he didn't answer, but he called me right back.
Okay.
And so what I said to him, he started to say, hey, Mark, how you doing, Mr. Humes? And he said, hey, Emily, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, why you guys think that y'all have to go to the media to talk to me. I know all you guys. I just don't understand. And he started going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the phone on speaker because it was about six of us or seven of us there.
Okay,
and I wanted
so they
them
could
to
hear what you're saying.
Well, actually, I was just asking him if we can meet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, ain't really nothing to discuss. Basically, that's what he was saying. Ain't nothing to discuss. Cause
it's a done deal.
Everything already set in stone. So I said, but how could you put together a program and not even consult the entertainers, one? Number two, and even if you know we're not going that route, you got to say something to us because a lot of us ain't worked for, like, what, 2 years?
Uh-huh.
So I said, but at least just let us know that, okay, I'm not, y'all weren't here for me this year because this is the route we decided to take.
Mm-hmm.
But blah, blah, blah. But then we said, but then what about the songs that are being sung? They're not Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started to say, well, you know, in other words, I'm paraphrasing. He was like, well, if you're producing a show, and who do you speak with? And why you need to consult people and da, 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 whatever he said, right?
Wow.
So basically what he was saying to us was, it's my show.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided this to where we're going. I don't need to explain under y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he said, well, what is Bahamian music anyway?
Wow.
And I did say to him while
see,
we were talking.
See, that was the question right
I
there.
I said to him, I said, now just be careful what you say. Because
yes.
When I first started talking to him, I said, I have you on speakerphone.
Mm-hmm.
So that your staff can hear you and Dylan and Erica and Dyson, everybody can hear you. And he took offense to that I had him mm-hmm. on speaker. I said, but what difference it make?
Mm-hmm.
All of us come here as a group. I ain't calling
well,
you
I
as
mean,
a friend.
Of course you need to let a person know beforehand, but I understand no, but what I'm it just is
saying,
that you're saying.
But he called me, so I said, if you call me, I just put you on. I said, okay, I'm
okay.
on speaker.
Okay.
We just came to find out if there is a, if we can possibly talk.
Mm-hmm.
Can we meet with you, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, in other words, that's when he said, well, the show done set. In other words,
mm-hmm.
that ain't happening.
Sweet,
it don't make no sense.
He asked a very, very, very serious question, though.
Right.
He said, what is Bahamian music anyway?
Right.
And as we move from the 1950s, 60s, 70s to 2021 and beyond, mm-hmm. that is a question that is becoming more and more difficult to answer. It is like there's a commercial that I would see from time to time on local TV, and it's where they would have elements of our Bahamian culture literally disappearing before your physical eyes mm-hmm. and saying that, listen, if we don't preserve what it is that we have in the
right,
sea,
right, yeah,
our group or our conch, then this, well, the same thing is
right.
happening with Bahamian culture.
Right.
And so we really have to be really serious about the preservation of it and passing it on down to upcoming generations. And where we have now the chairman of the Independent Secretariat
yeah, like
asking a question, what is Bahamian music anyway, right?
Yeah,
so when you have in leadership with this kind of a mentality towards our own culture, then there are still yet more serious questions to be answered, right? And but I'm very glad, though, that since then there has been some resolution that's come about, and that is now with this two-day concert. I believe I have the information
right.
here. Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture has partnered with Bahamian Artists for a two-day grand concert set for Friday, July 30th, and Saturday, July 31st. And, of course, Minister Iram Lewis said that 48 artists, of course, with our 48 years of independence, will be chosen to participate, and the event will be streamed live. Now, this is good, right?
Right.
It has a lot of good aspects there.
Right.
However, it's really unfortunate that the story that you just shared with us had to happen first
right.
for this to come about,
right.
for our own Bahamian
exactly.
independence with our own Bahamian culture and music, right?
Exactly.
And then, of course, this just went viral on
right.
Facebook. The comments are coming
right,
fast and
right.
furiously, like, okay, we're going to be having our grand independence concert on the 30th and the 31st of July,
right.
when our independence is July 10th.
Right.
But still, all things considered, still a lot of good here.
When we met with the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, the Honorable Iram Lewis,
mm-hmm.
We didn't understand that, even though we know that Mark Humes is a part of
mm-hmm.
a committee
right.
that sets and they control what happens in independence, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the chairman. And Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture right away separated themselves based on what they were saying from that whole conversation. They met with us, but they wanted us to know right away that, first of all,
mm-hmm.
this has nothing to do with Youth, Sports and Culture, because this whole independence situation was taken from Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture
mm-hmm.
and placed in the hands of a committee that falls under the cabinet. Okay?
Okay.
So
okay.
they had nothing to do with it. It was only because of the agitation and us speaking with Iram Lewis
right.
and him saying that, okay, and what we did was we didn't just go and speak with him. We realized that if we're going to go to them to agitate
mm-hmm.
for them to make some changes
okay.
and to employ Bahamian artists, which mm-hmm. we think should have been from the first place.
That's right.
We need to come correct, and we need to make sure that we have a proper plan. So
okay.
a person like
go
Dyson,
ahead.
Dyson, has a company, I think, and he was able to put together like a booklet
mm-hmm.
and we had what we
a
did
proposal.
Was, yeah, what we did was we had the core group that actually showed up.
Okay.
Became the core group.
Okay, okay.
And the spokesperson. That's mm-hmm. why your persons like myself, Dyson, Shine,
mm-hmm.
Erica,
mm-hmm.
D Mac,
mm-hmm.
Julian Believe, and then Fred helped us with the letter.
Okay.
So we became the core group that would meet with the minister, because you just kind of all entertainers just bombarding him. Mm-hmm.
Understood.
So we decided that since we were the ones that showed up and we were the ones who got this whole thing started, mm-hmm. then we should be the ones to go and speak with him. And he was very cordial and amicable, and he right. also expressed that he right. used to beat up on the drums and he beat up on the keyboard and
okay.
so he could appreciate
yes.
Bahamian culture. And he just wanted us to know that the decision really was out of his hand. Mm-hmm. But he promised us that he would take our booklet and our proposal mm-hmm. and present it before the cabinet, which was the next day. He said, "I ain't making y'all no promises mm-hmm. because, you know, cabinet has to agree."
Okay.
And so and I will did. Fight for y'all, though. I will fight.
Mm-hmm.
But just understand that this had nothing to do with us.
Okay.
So basically that's what happened. And then he did table it the next day and they approved.
That's excellent. So it just really goes to show the power of unity.
But we got other things we got to agitate for.
Of course.
He has agreed to meet with us.
But it shows the power of unity right. and standing up for what you Correct. Know you deserve Correct. As Correct. Bahamian That's artists, right?
Right.
And this is a wonderful note to end today's show. But right before we wrap it up, I just want you to take about 2 minutes and just share your vision of the future of Bahamian culture, especially as it relates to the community of Bahamian artists. There's this cry, there's this plight. We really need change.
I think, first of all, what we need to do is we have a lot of new artists that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of misinformation. There's a whole lot of agitation and there's a whole lot of frustration
mm-hmm.
between even the younger artists and the older artists
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that the older artists are seasoned and have been around. You know how it is. You're dealing with the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So we're used to doing things one way.
Right.
Then you have this new group coming up. They want everything quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't want to learn the business of music. They right. just want to get one song on the radio. And
the microwave
so friends,
generation.
Yeah. So right. So here we have now this dichotomy, if you could call it that.
Yes,
it's
you can.
Like, right. So you have these two groups of entertainers. Then you have persons who even fall in between, like mm-hmm. those who are not so old,
mm-hmm.
who have been in the business, who are fresh, but they've been around for a couple of years.
Yes.
And then you have these new artists who just coming in,
mm-hmm.
who just want everything now, don't want to know the business,
mm-hmm.
want you to record a song for them. They just want to pay $300 and get a whole production. It doesn't matter how it sounds. They just want to play it on the radio. And when you don't play it, they rowing and cussing and going on. So for me, I feel as if my vision, I was saying, I think one of the reasons why Yahweh, God, brought me back was to help to be one of those persons to bridge the gap.
Yes, that's good.
To help to steer the younger persons mm-hmm. as much as I can when I have the opportunity to,
mm-hmm.
and help to show them the ropes. In other words, you can't throw the baby in the bad water.
Mm-hmm.
That's
True.
The first thing. You True. Can't just discard us
mm-hmm.
and say we old school
mm-hmm.
because we have the wealth and the knowledge.
That's
the,
right.
The wealth of knowledge.
We need
and
you.
We have the experience
mm-hmm.
where I can say to a Lady E mm-hmm. or a Fanchon or one of the younger females, I like to more deal with the females because
mm-hmm.
I think you have enough males that should mentor. Mm-hmm. Female artists, like a person like me, shouldn't have to be mentoring male young
I
artists.
I got you, yes.
We got enough males. It's a male-dominated
Mm-hmm. industry.
Industry.
Yes.
So you shouldn't have a Shine or somebody coming to me for mentorship. They should go to an Ira or a Fred.
I agree with you.
But
yes.
in any event, any opportunity that we have,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes they may come to me,
mm-hmm.
what I do is I try to hear their frustration because you have to hear them first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't brush them aside.
See where
and say,
they're coming
oh,
from.
They, yeah, because the older generation sometimes doesn't have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to hear them out and then understand and be mature enough to meet them where they're at.
Okay.
And then say to them, listen, I understand your frustration. I understand, but let me show you why we do it like this. Or let me show you maybe a way you can do it.
Yes.
If you want to get this particular result. So we need more mentorship. I think this whole movement bit that came out of the independence celebration.
Yes.
This whole movement.
It sounds like it needs to continue.
It's a movement.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now it'd be great to use this opportunity now that we have the heirs of the young and the older together.
Gain
and
the momentum. Gain the momentum. Matter,
right. And even the gospel artists have to be included in that as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because we can't have this mindset that everybody of the same rig and scrape.
Mm-hmm.
There are Bahamian artists in this country who's in jazz.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain hotels that they want a jazz feel.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
As long as you hiring Bahamians, to me, the genre is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's
when you're
good.
Talking about putting on a cultural show,
that's a different story.
That's different.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find a way to put into our history what Bahamian music is. We have to define it.
Yes.
They used
yes,
to say Gombe, so and that's, I think, Gombe is what it used to be. But we don't really sing Gombe no more. We're doing mm-hmm. Rake and Scrape and John Canoe and a fusion of.
Mm-hmm.
And now Bahamians mixing even that with the Afro beats and everything else. So now, you know, it's going to be difficult maybe to define it, but For me, I think it's a mix between Reagan Scrape and John Kennedy.
You know, it has to be done. We really need to just stop talking about it and actually get it done and get it to our young and upcoming Bahamian artists. And so that's going to wrap up our show for today, a very, very spirited and energetic show today. I really, really enjoyed this.
Always.
Sweet Emily, I always enjoy interviewing you. I tell you, you always give a great interview. Of course, she is the queen of Junkanoo, the one and only Sweet Emily, as we wrap up this special edition, our Bahamian Summer Artist Series on the topic, Music and the Arts Shaping a New Bahamas. I'm yours truly, Lady Shima. Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
Seven Seas. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real-Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out.